This is Logic, the short and sweet monthly law podcast for the public. I'm Caitlin, your Central Kentucky Lawyer Referral Service Coordinator. The purpose of this podcast is to inform the public about some of the law basics in which the Lawyer Referral Service receives the most calls. Today, we are talking about consumer law and more specifically, some basics about automobiles. I have with me Stephanie Kingsley, an attorney out of Corbin who specializes in consumer law. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Stephanie.
Well, I've been in practice for about 14 years, the first 10 of which were at Apple Red Legal Aid in Eastern Kentucky. Legal Aid provides free civil representation to folks who have been sued or have problems that they otherwise could not afford a lawyer. I came into private practice about 3 years ago. I had always had a focus on consumer law in my practice, even at Legal Aid. And there's a lot of folks in Eastern Kentucky that don't necessarily know that you can do something right. when somebody takes advantage of you in a consumer and financial transaction. Right. So I've become an educator in many ways.
Yes, a voice for the people.
Yes, and just teaching people to be smart consumers. Right. So not just how to fix it when you've got a problem, but what to look for when you're going into these transactions awesome. As well. But that's basically what my practice has been for the last
awesome.
Couple of years.
So say someone just bought a car, they've drove it off the lot, and it quits working. What are their rights? What are their next steps? What can they do?
So it really depends on what kind of vehicle it is. If it's a brand new purchase off the lot, you've got warranties and lemon law that apply for brand new manufacturer, straight off the lot, 0 miles on the car. As for used vehicles, it really depends on what the defect is. There is a remedy for revocation of that contract if the problem with the vehicle substantially reduces the value of what they purchased. So we're not talking about a flat tire. We're not talking about a headlight that's broke.
Right.
We're talking about the head gasket cracked. I need a whole new brake system. Things that should have been easily identified by the folks who sold it to you.
Right.
And so if that diminution in value is such that it can undo that contract, that sort of revocation would go against even an as-is in the contract. So that little box on the buyer's guide that says, we're selling this as-is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Uniform Commercial Code says, sure, you can have an as-is warranty that says you're buying what you're buying, but you're buying that thing for a particular purpose.
Right.
So you're buying a car to drive it. If the car does not drive, what you have purchased does not do what you bought it to do.
The intention, yeah.
Yeah. And so that sort of revocation and violations of the Uniform Commercial Code will go under that as is and still allow the opportunity to revoke that contract.
Okay.
And under that revocation, you would get all the money that you paid on that contract back. So you'd be looking at whatever your down payment was, whatever payments you made to the lender in the meantime, all of those payments would come back to you if a court were to approve that revocation of acceptance.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you do that, your dealerships aren't just going to agree.
Right.
That this
There's
going
to be a little work involved.
Yes, yes. So you can document what the problems are. And the way that you do that is go to an independent mechanic, get that estimate, go to the dealership, see what they're willing to do about it.
Okay.
There are some good guys out in this industry that will take a look at that, admit that this is something that they can fix pretty easily mm-hmm. in their shop and do it. They are the minority. And so if you have this estimate, if it's less than $2,500, you can sue them in small claims for these
right.
repairs and say, I bought this. It didn't work. I repaired this in the first 30 days of purchasing this vehicle, I want them to pay for those repairs.
Right.
And small claims can do that.
Okay.
If it's more than that and it's a bigger problem for the vehicle, if you can't drive, if you have to borrow somebody else's vehicle, if you're out of pocket for expenses because you had to have that vehicle and it's over, you mm-hmm. know, $5,000 and what you're already out of pocket, that's when you'd want to take it to a lawyer.
Right.
And you'd want to see what it is that is wrong with this transaction and how you can make it right.
Okay.
And it's not always just they sold a crappy car to you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you want to look at in the contract itself. Did the salesman say it's top-notch road ready and it fell apart the next day? Those kinds of misrepresentations will also give rise to other causes of action that lawyers can pursue against that dealership.
Okay.
So, honest salesmen do matter.
So let's say you just bought a car and you're unsatisfied with the purchase. Can a car be returned?
So outside of CarMax, they are the only folks that I know have a 30-day return guarantee that if you are dissatisfied with the car and you just want to look at something else, that they will unwind that contract. But those are the only folks that I have known to ever do that sort of thing.
Right.
If there is just you're not liking how much you're going to pay or the financing isn't really what you expected it to be, there is no cooling off period. Mm-hmm. You can't just bring it back and say, I don't want it anymore. because 9 times out of 10, they've already sold it to the bank and now it's the bank's car. And while they say they can't do anything about it, the dealership can unwind that sale with the bank and they do it every day.
Right.
There is also the issue that they can tell you to bring the car back because you weren't approved for financing.
See, now I do get a lot of those calls, actually, that they've been asked to bring the vehicle back.
Correct. And so those are yo-yo sales. And what they're looking to do is get you to sign for a contract that they know you're not going to be approved on. You've got bad credit, and they can see it from your credit check.
Right.
And so what they'll do is take your crappy credit and try to sell it to a lot of the subprime lenders that charge up to 20% interest on their car loans.
I was going to say, they probably have those high interest rates.
Yes, ma'am. And so every single car contract, the motor vehicle retail installment sales contract, is conditional.
Okay.
It's conditional upon approved financing. And so if they call you back because your contract hasn't been able to be sold to any bank because there's no approved financing, they will then jack up the sale amount, the interest rate, whatever it is that they can tack back on.
And they're allowed to do that.
They are allowed to do it, but doesn't require you to sign a new contract.
Okay.
You have to bring the car back, clearly, because you're no longer purchasing it under contract. But you don't have to sign another contract. And they typically put you over a barrel because they've already sold your trade-in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here you are without a car.
Right.
But you don't have to sign a new contract.
Okay.
And then they can be entitled to repay you for whatever your down payment was and whatever your loaner was to either get it back or get the fair market value of what it was back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that contract is conditional. So they cannot require you to sign another contract. They can require you to bring the car back.
Okay.
But they cannot require you to sign a new contract.
So let's go back to the lemon law. I get a ton of calls. I would say at least a few a day, if not more than that, that they are claiming that they have a lemon law. And so let's just talk about that because I would love to be super thorough with those answers.
So everybody thinks a lemon law is a car that's a junker. And that's not necessarily the case. The lemon law statutes are pretty standard throughout the country, and it's all for new car sales. Brand new cars right off the lot in which it's a manufacturer's defect that is occurring in the vehicle. And so in Kentucky, you have to bring those cases within 2 years of the date of delivery or 25,000 miles. You can't drive your car cross country a bunch of times in that first year and have 75,000 miles and say, I have a lemon. So that's not, those are the two bars for eligibility. And in Kentucky, it's basically if there are 30 days in which the car has been in the shop in that 2 year period, and it is something that cannot be fixed by the dealership, that the warranty work has not repaired what has happened, that is when a lemon law case would apply. And every single manufacturer in the country has a different process for how you go about returning the vehicle to either get a new one or purchase a different one from that same manufacturer.
Okay.
You can get the same type of car. Some folks, after they've been burned with that particular make, model, and year, want to switch to a different car.
Right.
But so everybody has a different process. You don't necessarily need a lawyer with these kinds of cases, which is not necessarily what other lawyers would like me to be sharing. But there's an administrative process, and every manufacturer, their corporate office, has a consumer affairs, customer service, corporate contact. And it's typically a form in which you document all of the problems that you've been having, all of the warranty work that's been done. And the corporate office will get the information from whatever mechanic you've been working with, whatever dealership, what have you, to identify that this is a defect of the manufacturing and not something that the user has created.
Okay.
And so a lot of these are just administrative processes. You fill out a form. You push them back a little bit because, you know, they don't necessarily just, okay, of course you can have a new car. but it's definitely something that you can do on your own.
Okay.
And if you do meet these qualifications, that it's a manufacturer's defect that isn't mm-hmm. covered by a warranty, and it's a substantial defect, it's not my seatbelt has a problem with the cross-stitching. There's something that is majorly wrong with the engine, the body, or some other sort of structure on the car that is necessary to its functioning as a new vehicle should. But if you qualify for all of those, they will begin the process and begin to tell you what they'll give you for that car and what your offer will be.
Okay.
If they're saying that, no, you are not eligible and you believe that you are, that's when you'd want to go see a lawyer and say, are they really telling me what's accurate here?
Right.
And do I have a case anyway?
So just to be clear, it's not a used car. It has to be a brand new.
Right off the lot.
Okay. Perfect. We have that cleared up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Chapter 7 repossession. That's something I am not familiar with.
Okay. So when you have a repossession that has occurred on your credit and you look at what amount of money is owed as a deficiency, they will send you a notice of the repossession and they will send you the time and place in which the car is going to be sold. And if that isn't accurate, if you don't receive it, if it was a private party sale that these guys mm-hmm. sold it to a sister company that's an auction place and it wasn't for fair market value and it wasn't an arm's length transaction,
mm-hmm.
and then they proceed to sue you for a deficiency, knowing that they did not sell it for the amount that should have been sold for. I mean, auctions are fire sales, so it's always going to be small, but mm-hmm. if it's substantially less than you could have sold at a private party auction, that's when it becomes improper.
Okay.
It's not a commercially reasonable sale is what the statute says. But so if they don't do that, or if they don't even send you the notice, they cannot then sue you for deficiency.
Okay.
And so anytime you have a case in which you had a car repoed and you never heard another word about any of it, you should contact a lawyer because they can't officially sue you on any deficiency unless you've had proper notice of what amount was earned at the auto auction. And so the other part of the deficiency or attempts to repossess in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. So if you're behind in a vehicle and you file a Chapter 7 to keep it or catch up, anytime you're looking at a bankruptcy to catch that loan back up, you're looking at a Chapter 13 to repay it.
Okay.
But in a Chapter 7, they can't just come repossess your car.
Okay.
So if you just need a little bit to figure out what you're going to do for a replacement vehicle and you filed a Chapter 7, that creditor can't do anything until they ask permission of the court.
Okay.
And so folks are always worried about, what can I do with my car because I can't afford it and I'm not keeping it in bankruptcy. And every creditor is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at, is it worth my time to go to court and file a motion, or do I just wait that 4 months and come get it after? And most of the smaller mom and pop shops are
gonna come
after.
Okay.
And so you still are discharged that underlying debt from that deficiency, and then they just arrange a pickup after that bankruptcy is closed.
Okay.
So it's all very orderly in bankruptcy court. And then after the discharge is entered and that automatic lift of stay is no longer in place, they can just come get it anytime.
Awesome. And so let's talk about lawful repossessions.
So we see this a lot. When you talk about, again, the Uniform Commercial Code and what does a lawful repossession look like, you have the right under your contract law that if you don't want your car repossessed at that time and place, you don't have to agree.
Okay.
You can sit in your driver's seat and say, no, I'm not letting you take this vehicle.
Okay. So it's kind of like what you see on like Dog the Bounty Hunter,
mm-hmm.
where they...
Mm-hmm. You can sit in your car. And the secured creditor's agents, the repossession mm-hmm. agents, they can't do anything about it. They can't call the cops. They can't physically remove you from the car.
Okay.
They can sit behind you as long as they feel like, but they cannot physically remove you from that vehicle.
Well, okay. See, I did not know that. Not that I plan on having.
Not a lot of folks do. And they can't call the cops.
Okay.
So unless you are disturbing the peace or otherwise causing a ruckus in a public location, they cannot involve the use of law enforcement because it's a civil contract.
Right.
You are not breaking the law by refusing to give over a civil contract. You're just enforcing your rights under the law to oppose the repossession. What typically would happen at that point in time is they'd file a lawsuit, they get a sheriff to assist with the repossession if they are unable to obtain it voluntarily. And so that's what you'd be looking at, is if your car is being repossessed and you are in a public place and you have a way to safely say no, you have the right to do that. And that'll give you time to catch up payments or otherwise, because once your car is repoed, you get $1,000 extra fees just for the repo guys, the storage fees, the tow fees. And so if you have that money and are able to catch it up before the second attempt of the repo, that's how... that's how you can use that as a tool.
Okay.
Because the minute you let them take it, anything you're paying to get that vehicle back is going to increase by at least $1,000.
I didn't know that either. So that's another added thing on there.
Added protection for consumers, that if you want to enforce your legal rights, it has to be in a safe and appropriate way, which is not breaching the peace on your end. But that's basically what they would be doing. Awesome. The violation of the code is that you cannot enforce a security interest by breaching the peace.
Okay.
So you can't smash and grab somebody's car out of their garage. You know, there are different rules for public and private repossession, but basically you can't go onto somebody's private property if they tell you to leave.
Okay.
And they cannot call law enforcement to then walk onto your property.
Okay.
They would have to file some sort of execution, lawsuit, otherwise to obtain that property lawfully from your private property if you haven't given them permission.
Oh, okay. So those are just some of the... basic things that I get the most calls about. Is there anything else that you would like to add or say or inform the public about?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that you do have an opportunity to fight back if you've been taken advantage of. This is unfortunately an industry that misrepresents the value of the collateral they have sold you on a daily basis. And with used cars particularly, they do that because they don't bother to do a once over of the car because it would cost them money, and then they had personal knowledge of any defects in the vehicle. So they just guesstimated what the value is, and then if you have problems, they're like, well, we didn't know it wasn't our car. And that's not exactly the case always. And so once you dig into the paperwork or the repair bills that they have submitted, or again, any Carfax entries that they chose to put in there, are sometimes available to consumers to insure.
Okay.
But I think the biggest thing that you want to look at when you're buying a used car, if you set up an appointment with a mechanic to have them give that vehicle a once-over before you sign on the dotted line, that is your best insurance. To any dealership that doesn't let you do that, you don't want to buy a car from them.
Okay.
And so when you look at... I'm buying this used car. What is the true car value of that? So get a ballpark of what that car value should be, and then have somebody who knows what they're looking at, you know, crawl underneath the car, take it to their shop, give them just a once over on the engine. And then that's what's going to protect you most in your used car purchases.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it's CarMax.
CarMax. That's what it is.
But they have that 30-day guarantee.
It is CarMax. Well, that's good to know. Well, I have nothing else to add. thank you for all of this awesome information. I'm sure it will help tons of people. Thank you so much for having us. If you are ever in need of an attorney in the Central Kentucky area, you can always give the Central Kentucky Lawyer Referral Service a call at 859-225-8644. And you can also like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.